This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We need to have a conversation with Dave O'Brien. If we break bad on the White Sox, that's one thing.
But when guys like Dave do it,
I mean, it hurt, man.
Yeah, the White Sox invent ways to lose games.
Oh, man. The trip to Chicago could be coming at the perfect time.
Dave, why you got to do us like that, man?
Guys, it's just a pleasure to be in Chicago, first of all. Always is. Hey, we got our own problems with the Red Sox trying to turn things around, and I think it probably will come at the expense of the White Sox, unfortunately for you guys.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
I'm angrier than I'm even letting on about this.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White Sox!
And the White Sox lead it 2-0. It is 4-0. 6-0. 7-0. 9-1.
I hope they kick the snot out of the Red Sox.
10-1. And it's 11-1. And the White Sox are blowing out the Red Sox tonight.
Get him a body bag! Yeah!
I hope Dave O'Brien's got to wear that quote forever.
Yeah, the White Sox invent ways to lose. Invent ways to lose. Invent ways to lose.
I mean, it's a horrible night. We know it. Everybody knows it there, you know? And it's a horrible night in every aspect of the game.
Excuse me.
We got to show up tomorrow and play better.
2-2, bottom of the ninth inning, and here we go.
Bowman in the left field, and the White Sox are going to walk it off in the ninth.
Yeah, the White Sox invent ways to lose. Invent ways to lose.
Care to revise your statement, sir?
What? Do you want to change your bullshit story, sir?
And the Red Sox have a lot of things they need to figure out here.
And the White Sox win their first series of the season. Play that music.
Yeah, the White Sox invent ways to
win. Win, 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 win.
Curve everything goes.
Win, 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 win.
You like apples?
Yeah.
How do you like their map?
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Great open by Tanny. Our guy Shane's got his cap on today. He's feeling strong.
You guys are putting your foot into this one now, man.
You know, I'm so tired of the way these shows are opening lately. Tanny, one of the best things you've ever done. Hey, Shane, you got glasses on.
He's got a cap today.
He does. It looks like a White Sox cap. That's what I thought.
I also looks like you maybe got a haircut over the weekend.
I did get a haircut, and my beard is about half the size that it used to be.
That's half the beard.
Yeah.
I agree. It's a stud.
Yeah, I was looking like a homeless friend.
We noticed. But Tanny is like, yeah, he really enjoyed that.
I did too.
There was Goodwill Hunting in there. There was The Fugitive in there. And John Shriffin didn't even ruin it with win, 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 win. Got close, but he didn't ruin it.
You know what?
What?
If John Shriffin would have leaned into it, I'd have been totally okay with it.
He did, man. You must have felt good. You were looking forward to it all weekend.
It was delicious. Like the way I describe it, because you know I have my issues with the White Sox from an organizational standpoint.
Huh.
It's the scene in Predator. I know you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't. Tell me all about it.
Basically, that's us. Like the White Sox fans are Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm Carl Weathers, and I'm like, son of a bitch.
and we are back, baby. We're back just for the weekend, though.
Yeah.
But it was so satisfying.
Dude, 30,000 people on Saturday in the sun to win in a walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
You got a kid who comes up in Mydroth and sparks you for a couple of days and then breaks up the no-hitter. Crochet pitched real well yesterday.
He was terrific yesterday, but so did Shane Smith.
Yeah,
so
he did. And that's the dude. I've been talking about him. Like, that's the guy on the major league roster, on the major league pitching staff, you should be most invested in. Like, he's got a chance to be real good, and he's young and real good. So, look, you're dunking on Dave O'Brien. Go ahead. Anything else on Dave O'Brien?
Yeah, and I'll just leave it at this, and I'll allow White Sox fans, whether they're in the chat or they would like to text us, they know the answer to this. Hey, Dave O'Brien, we got two words for you. All right.
Is D's one of those words?
No. You'll see. It's gonna start percolating. Inside the chat and on the text line.
So yesterday morning, Will Fleming, the Red Sox radio voice, was on Hit and Run.
I got two words for him too.
Well, you'll have it even more after this one. He was talking about losing the first two to the White Sox when you're the Red Sox. Here's what Will had to say.
I said it on our broadcast yesterday, and this might drive White Sox fans crazy, but I think it's true. It's sort of like, you know, the old adage of you play a game in your division, it counts for two. I think losses here count double because everyone else is going to come in here and just roll this team. I don't mean to dump on the White Sox. I mean, I love Will Venable. I think that, you know, there's some hope down the pipeline maybe, but they're not a good major league team right now, not even close.
So they
neither is yours. Neither is yours.
But how about this?
Why don't you fix your problem that you got going on at DH right now? Why don't you fix that problem?
Yeah, Devers can't hit a damn thing.
Why don't you fix
thing?
That?
Okay. All right, go ahead. Feel free to dunk on Mr. Fleming.
I'm just saying that your team's not very good.
I think they're going to
be okay. We'll see you next week.
I think they're going to be okay.
How about that?
But his point being that it's like a game. It's like a loss and a half when you lose to the White Sox because you know the Yankees are going to come in here and take care of business. You know the Orioles and the Blue Jays are going to come in here. That's harsh. That is harsh, man.
I mean, it's mostly true.
But
still, you probably should keep your mouth closed after what happened this weekend. Especially Friday. Friday night was mwah, mwah. It was just great. I got home from that 50-mile trek that we were from Lindenhurst. I went to Trader Joe's, and I was like, it's a little late for dinner, but it's not too late for snacks.
I had the same thought process on the way home. Like, I need dinner. What am I going to do? I ended up ordering Grubhub from the car.
Smart.
Yeah.
And it was there.
Yeah, it was there when I arrived.
In, you go. So I'm just sitting on the couch just like, this is phenomenal.
I ate a whole watermelon.
Really?
Seeds and all, or no? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you make a hole in the top and pour a bottle of vodka in there?
No.
That's my favorite kind of watermelon.
No. Whole watermelon. Just like you guys, too late for dinner.
Yeah.
Need to eat something. Watermelon's easy.
And then late night Friday, I'm watching Matthew Boyd, friend of the show,
yes,
pitch extremely well against the Dodgers. Gave up a home run to Tommy Edman, and that was enough, and they lose that game. Saturday, 16-0 is the dominance. And then last night, your guy PCA with two homers and a triple. Cubs take 2 out of 3 in L.A., represent very, very well. Now they get the Padres on the road. The Cubs have the second best OPS in all of baseball, behind only the Yankees right now.
Swing the bat.
PCA?
Yeah, swing the bat. Good things happen when you do that.
Especially since you can't bunt.
They didn't even let Cub killer Tommy Edman killed them this weekend.
Well, Friday.
He tried. He tried to make it an awful weekend, but he did not succeed.
It wasn't an awful weekend.
From that standpoint.
So here's the deal. You win 2 out of 3 at Dodger Stadium. You're top 5 in most of the power rankings. Your offense is for real. But you lose Justin Steele for the year to elbow surgery. So good weekend or not. I think good weekend still.
It was a good weekend from the standpoint of watching your offense continue to do what you're hoping it would do. And the first thought that came to my mind, because we were talking about it Friday, we both kind of expected, you hadn't heard anything from the Cubs,
yeah,
and you were kind of expecting that when you did hear from them, something bad was going to be told to us. My first thought was,
they're going to have to slug their way to the National League Central title. And I think they're capable of doing it. That doesn't mean that I don't want them nor expect them to make a move. They need to make a move. This isn't – you got to cover 200 innings. If this had happened later in the year, you might be able to get by. You got 180 innings to cover now with Justin Steele being gone. And you should be looking to try and add someone who's not just there to get the innings. You should be looking for someone that can help you get over the top.
There are some big-time names that could potentially be out there on the trade block as starting pitchers. One of them is Sandy Alcantara down in Miami. But Sandy Alcantara, they're not in a rush to deal him, is the word that came out of Miami earlier this morning. Remember, they moved quick on Luis Arraez in that trade a year ago. So are they in a rush to move Alcantara? This from Barry Jackson down there. This is more a July decision. If they get a great offer with two surefire, young, controllable starting bats and more, you have to consider it. So will the Cubs make a serious big-time offer for a guy like Alcantara?
It depends on what you view this year as.
Well, I think it also depends on what you get over the next couple of weeks. Here's what I think. I think that Jordan Wicks is going to be the guy who's going to come up and be your fifth starter with Colin Ray going back to the bullpen. And if he can give you what you thought Matthew Boyd was going to give you as a five, because maybe Matthew Boyd is going to give you some of what you thought Justin Steele was going to give you, because he's been great.
He has been.
So if you're thinking that Boyd is going to give you way more than you thought, which frankly I've been thinking all along and he's showing it, and then Wicks can give you fifth starter stuff.
I don't want to depend on that.
I totally understand. But in the short term, I'm cool with that. In the short term.
In the very short term.
Ben Brown looked great
on
Saturday night.
Jed, get your ass on the phone.
I agree, but I'm not going to.
You finally have a minor league system that is worthy of making a move. And if you think this is a year where you can win the division and therefore putting you into the lottery of winning a World Series, get your ass on the phone and make a move.
I think they can slug enough where you don't have to panic about it just yet. So it'll be fun discussion for you and me.
We need to take a break, and we'll get more in-depth on this particular discussion when Sahadev Sharma joins us. He's going to let us know what's possible for the Cubs to do. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes talking Cubs with you on The Score.
Armstrong gets into another one. Sends Edman back. He's watching it land in the stands. What a night for Pete Crow Armstrong and his family on the about-face from The Witch, who was bewitched by Pete Crow Armstrong, second of the night.
How about that? Mom standing right now applauding. Don't blame her one bit.
And the way that Pete Crow Armstrong performed in front of Mom, Dad, and a whole bunch of other folks who were rooting for him, given his background, being from Sherman Oaks, California, not far from here. A special, special night for the Chicago Cubs and that kid right there. And there are Mom and Dad. Buster only standing by to talk with PCA.
Yeah. Looked like you motioned toward your folks sitting behind home plate. Yeah. What was that like?
That's very special. That's the best part about being able to come back out and play at home. I got elementary school teachers in the outfield and a lot of friends scattered all over the place, but getting to be with my parents is always special.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Highlights courtesy of ESPN. The Cubs win the series against the Dodgers out in L.A. They lose Justin Steele, which is problematic. We have been discussing it here on the show. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we will talk about the Masters, get our reaction to it. And then later on, Josh Schrock, who now covers golf for golf.com, is going to join us to talk a little bit about the Masters. Right now, though, Sahadev Sharma is joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Sahadev, what are the Cubs going to do now that Justin Steele is no longer a part of this team's 2025 season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you cannot replace what Justin Steele brings. He brings certainty, right? Like he kind of become this stable force in the rotation over the last couple of years. It's really hard to replace that with just one pitcher, right? It's going to be hard. Matthew Boyd has looked great. Looks like you're getting that upside that they hope to get from him. Shota Imanaga seems like he has a chance to be as good as last season. So you have two really good starters there. Tyone's like that prototypical number three. So what do they do? Like, Colin Ray looked all right, right? He looked pretty good against the Dodgers. Ben Brown, I think it was huge for him to bounce back after a really rough outing in his previous start. So those two guys look like the immediate answers. At some point, Jordan Wicks has a shot to be a part of this. Javier Assad. I mean, we know the names. We've seen these guys. They're quality starters. They're not bad. They can help the team in short bursts, possibly give you similar output as Steele, but not, you know, you can't expect that over the course of whatever 25 starts. It's going to be hard to replicate that. So we're talking about in a month or two, I mean, 2 or 3 months, what the trade deadline looks like, right? Who's available? Who can they go after? This is a front office that's going to be aggressive because their jobs are on the line, right? So I expect them to be aggressive to upgrade the pitching staff, both in the bullpen and in the rotation, depending on what needs really emerge, right? If different guys step up, if Ben Brown starts to repeat that outing over and over again, things start to look different, right? You feel differently about things.
Yeah, you do. If all of a sudden the five spot is Colin Ray or Jordan Wicks or Javier Assad, it can feel different. Just what do you think the future of Cade Horton is? Just because that's the highest upside arm in the system. Do they think of him as a starter? I know he's starting still, but I keep thinking in the back of my head he's a bullpen piece at some point this year.
Yeah, I think they just want him to be healthy, get starts, get innings. And I think they see him as someone that can help the team this year. I don't think Craig Counsell's kind of hid from that or shied away from talking about him as someone that can help the team. How it happens, I think, is the question, right? I mean, I think in the long term, they see him as a starter. They see him as someone that can be an impactful starter. So you don't want to just run away from that just because you have a need. So I think over the coming months, he's going to build up innings. He's going to show where his command is at. The velocity is back after, you know, early on last year, it wasn't. And then the injury hit. It sounded like those two things weren't related. From what I understand, it was a delivery stuff with the velocity, and then the injury came. So it seems like he's back on track as far as the stuff goes. The walks are a little high right now. I know one outing was a lot of rain, so you got to take that with a grain of salt, see how he is over the next few starts. They're not going to rush him. I mean, we just talked about guys that they have as far as depth arms. I don't think you want to rush Cade Horton. I know how exciting he is for fans, and it's tantalizing to see what he could be, but he needs to be ready. And that doesn't mean that he won't be this year. So let's give him a few more starts, see if he's, you know, fully back and really commanding all his pitches. And then I wouldn't be shocked if he makes a summer debut for the Cubs.
So now that you've had 3 weeks to kind of absorb, and I know that you're not one to make any grand pronouncements with such a small sample size, Sahada, but what do you think the impact of Kyle Tucker on the rest of the lineup has been?
Yeah, I think it's hard to deny that it's been a big impact. I liked this offense coming into the season. I've been open about that. I've said I believe that they're going to bounce back after what was really a rough couple months, but they ended the season well last year offensively. I like this group. I think there are more pieces than just Kyle Tucker, assuming that Seiya Suzuki really is just a day-to-day issue and he's back soon. Michael Bush, I liked him coming into the season. I feel like he was primed to take a step forward, maybe not a huge leap, but if this is what he is offensively, that is a huge leap, and he throws himself into the upper echelon of first baseman in the league, and you'd love to see that. He certainly has that upside. I mean, they have a lot of offensive talent, and some of the guys haven't even fully hit. I mean, Ian Happ isn't playing to his full potential just yet. There are other, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong just showed what he could do last night. I like this offense. I think it's deep, and I do think Kyle Tucker has a big impact on it. When you add a superstar, a very obvious superstar, I think it elevates the group. It kind of takes the pressure off different players, and he's very clearly one of the best bats in the game.
Do you put stock in the report over the weekend of Kyle Tucker contract talks taking place, or at least having taken place since he's been here.
Yeah, it's hard for me to speak on other reports when I don't have that exact information. What everything that I've gathered is it's going to be hard to make that happen. I don't doubt that they'd want to extend him. That I know they'd love to extend him. I know that's something that's on their minds. From my understanding, it's going to be really hard to pull off. If something's changed in the past week to 10 days, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if they're like trying to engage things. I think it makes, I mean, we've talked about this. It obviously makes a ton of sense, right? As long as they have the money from ownership that's willing to spend like a major market, go get the superstars. You have him. You don't have to compete against other teams right now to keep him. Make him an offer. Try and keep him in Chicago. He's not, this isn't a guy that's going to suddenly drop off or you're not sure what he is. You know what he is, right? And he's got a few, at least, you know, a chunk of years left to be at this peak in theory, assuming health. So, you know, I don't think there's any reason not to go after him. I don't have any concrete, nothing I feel comfortable going forward with.
Understood. Here's something that your colleague Patrick Mooney confirmed via, it was originally Mark Feinsand at MLB.com, that the Cubs and Pete Crow Armstrong had had contract extension conversations, maybe totaling out around 70 mil, maybe a little bit less than that with team options. I wonder which side walked away not ready to do it, because it's an interesting moment for PCA, isn't it? All the talent is there, but literally until last night, it's looked rough at the plate again.
Yeah, Patrick and I both had inklings during the spring that this was going to happen. It makes all the sense of the world. You know, teams are trying to be aggressive. It's not just small market teams. The Red Sox did it, right, with a few of their guys. You want to be aggressive with young guys you believe in and try and keep them what is considered a team-friendly deal, right? You'd love to do that. I would assume it's Pete betting on himself, saying, you know, like they probably weren't offering a crazy number, and he's saying I'm gonna show how good I am offensively and try and bump that number up. If he can get like a Corbin Carroll type deal, I'm sure he'd love that. I don't think that's his offensive upside, right? My guess is, knowing Pete, talking to Pete, he believes he can be that good. You know, he has all the confidence in the world. I really appreciate that. I respect that. That's how you should be. And he doesn't come across as someone that where it like rubs you the wrong way, right? So it's nice to see guys that believe in themselves and will bet on themselves. I wouldn't be shocked if he signs an extension at some point, though. I truly believe he loves Chicago. He has a good relationship with the front office. I think they believe in him. It seems like, you know, I feel like he's just scratching the surface. So it would make sense to try and buy out some years, try and get a couple years of free agency and see if you can get, you know, below what could end up being looking like a steal, right? So it makes sense. I think both sides are open to it. I wouldn't be shocked if something happens over the next, you know, 12 months.
Sahadev, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Take care.
You got it, man. My pop psychology theory last night is that Pete Crow Armstrong loved having his middle school buddies in the outfield, his parents behind the plate, and something in him relaxed a little bit because he was out in front of heat on homers and on the triple. He hasn't been out in front of stuff like that all year. He's in, and something was calmer
unless
about
he was
him.
Turning around a bunch. He was out in front of it.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a 5.2 magnitude earthquake in the San Diego area.
That's a real earthquake.
Yeah, that feels like it's one of those earthquakes where, you know, you kind of check structural integrity on ballparks and big buildings and everything. If there's more, we'll let you know, but that is something that happened a little while ago.
I can report the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes was in his hotel room in a chair working on some stuff at the table and felt the shake. So Taylor McGregor has tweeted that she was in a workout class, and the entire workout class got stopped, and they all like were led outside the hotel. Like it was a thing.
It's a very scary thing, and no word on if there have been aftershocks or anything like that, but it's something to keep in mind. When we come back, the Masters was everything yesterday. We're going to discuss it next on The Score.